Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. I welcome you to our wonderful time together this morning as we come to celebrate the path made clear. We'll talk about that a lot more lately over the morning. However, right now, I just want to let you know who we are. We are a Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We are located in Midtown. Right now, we are located all over the internet. Our reach is far and wide, and we're very grateful for that. We are a place that celebrates you for who you are. We don't need anyone to jump through any particular hoops or to think a certain way, believe a certain way, agree a certain way. What we need, what we require, what we want is for you to show up so we can celebrate who you are. Whatever background you come from, whatever your identifiers are, whatever your pronouns are, however you think of yourself in the world, in your space, that we see you, we recognize you, and we honor you because we know who you are. We know you're an expression of the divine, an expression of the infinite oneness. How could we do anything less than celebrate who you are? So in this place, we step above and beyond our apparent differences, and we move into that space of honoring, of celebrating, and of truly loving one another without knowing a lot about our personalities necessarily or knowing a lot about our individual choices and such. Again, because we recognize the truth of each one of us. That is, we are the divine showing up in a particular way, having an opportunity to express who we are according to our own choices and guidance and sense of ourselves in doing that. So today we join and then we begin this celebration with that idea in mind. So I welcome you. I thank you. If you would join me in an affirmation or declaration of principle, that is, this says a little more about who we are because this is what we believe. It's based on the work of our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. And I will read it aloud. I invite you to read along on your screen or to simply listen and take these words in and decide, is this what I believe or not? I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. At this time, we ask one of our members, who is also a licensed practitioner, for those who are not aware, excuse me, a practitioner is someone who is well-trained in this teaching. They have taken many classes. They have studied it. They've applied it in their lives in order to create a much greater and richer life for themselves. And they have learned how to use it for other people. One of the wonderful things about knowing the truth about life and about someone is that it knows no boundaries. So a practitioner knowing the truth about you, recognizing your goodness, your power, impacts your life as you receive and accept that. So today our birthday girl is going to be sharing with us. We're happy birthday to you. And right now we'll hear from Judy Ailey, one of our lead practitioners. Judy?
Thank you, Bob. Good morning and welcome everybody. As we continue our May theme, listen to your heart. And as Bob said, today's topic is the path made clear. And the affirmation that goes with this talk today is, I trust and allow the divine wisdom within me to guide my decisions and light my path. I follow its lead. So in this teaching, we talk a lot about being one with the one mind, that we have divine wisdom within us. And I remember early on in this teaching being told that if I was really lost or confused or just didn't know what to do, to use the following affirmation, that just say to myself, Something Within Me Knows. Well, Something Within Me Knows almost became kind of a mantra for me in my early days. When I think about the path being made clear, I also think about intuition, that still small voice of inspiration that is in all of us. I was thinking about the extra time of quiet that I've had during this time of social distancing and staying at home. And it's really allowed me space and time to listen to my heart. And for me, meditation is also a part of that that's important. That through meditation, I can listen and tune into what my particular path is. It seems like there are sometimes a lot of voices in there, and it takes time and practice to learn to really tell where is our heart leading us. What is the path? Is there just one path? Is it just one choice? Or is it happening all the time? The divine presence within us is that still small voice that we learn to recognize and listen to. And my experience with tuning into that small voice is that sometimes it's very quiet and it's a subtle urging. And it takes some time for it to be heard. And it may require just some time of sitting quietly and paying attention. And again, you know, sometimes we may think it's not so clear, but if we can just trust that something within me knows, and that something is the divine spark that is the center of all of our beings. It is the thing that connects us all together in oneness and wholeness. The other thing that comes to mind during this unusual time that we're all in here is that the path being made clear in as the collective path forward. We each have our individual path that in some way contributes to the collective path forward. We each have our own special part and input into that collective path. I believe that when we move forward from a place of love, and peace and divine inspiration, and as we know our connection with each other, I believe that the collective path that we are all on will be made clear, and that something within each of us knows what that next step will be. I want to leave you this part of it with you with a quote from Ernest Holmes. Ernest says, "If daily we are realizing more of truth and applying it in our actions, then we are on the right path, and eventually we shall be made free." All right. Well, thank you for allowing me a moment to share my thoughts about this topic. And I want to lead you now in an affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment. So if you'll just get comfortable where you are and just close your eyes and relax for a moment and know this for yourself as I say these words in the first person. I recognize and know that I am immersed in, filled with, connected to always this divine loving presence for good. I swim in the ocean of it. This power, this presence is closer than the beating of my heart, than the breathing of my air into my lungs. I am so filled with it and so one with it. I know that this power is a power for good. It is opulent abundance. It is infinite in its ability to solve any situation. There is never any situation that is too hard or too difficult for this power, for this goodness, for this love, for this healing presence to transform into goodness in my life. So as I recognize and know this, I know for myself that all is well, that my life is unfolding in greater and greater good every single day. I know that as I tune in to my heart and listen with my divine inspiration and with the knowledge that I am filled with the one mind of God, with this one intelligence, with this one knowing, when I tune into that, I truly know that there is something within me that knows my next step, that knows what is my right path, whatever that might be. So I take time every single day to listen, to know that I am always connected, that I am always one with this presence, with this power, with this infinite possibility of good. I let go of worry and fear. I let go of focusing on what appears to be an insurmountable problem in my life or a difficult situation. I let go of those. Instead, I turn my focus to this presence, this power, this goodness, this love. And I let that wash over my being. And it gives me that sense of deep peace within and knowing that all is well. I am grateful for this moment. I am grateful for this time of knowing and this time of expansion of my consciousness and my goodness in the world. So I release this now with great thanksgiving, knowing that it is so, and so it is.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Judy. And happy birthday again. And thank you, Jamie Lula. One of the real joys of Jamie Lula's performing is watching him, because he does not perform passively or quietly. And we don't get to see that in this particular performance. I do want to speak to something, though. I hadn't planned this, but I had forgotten the middle part of that song where he's singing, "Oh Lord, I surrender," I think he said, "my life to you, oh Lord." Well, in the Science of Mind teaching, we talk a lot about the Lord, but we talk about it by the name of law. That spiritual law, by another name, is considered Lord. So when we talk about surrendering to something, we're surrendering not to some being outside of ourself or beyond ourself, but the very presence of spiritual law and the way it works and spiritual life within us. So my surrender to my call is never a surrender to someone else's call or something else's call. It is a surrender to the call within me. And we don't like that word surrender too much in this teaching either, although I think it's powerful and fabulous, because Troward and some others talk about you cannot use the law of life and the law the way it works unless you surrender to how it works. Try to use your computer without surrendering to the way it works. You can't do it. I know my mother tried for many years, and I try sometimes when I forget and I get irritated and I pull out, you know, everybody used to have rubber hammers that we could beat our computers with. I don't have one of those anymore, because most of the time the computer and I get along pretty good. But it's a good thing to be able to recognize that surrender is just so much a part of life. I mean, we surrender, we walk by falling forward. We surrender by letting go of any attempt to make things be other than the way they are and what they are. Now, yes, conditions we can change. Things in our lives that we don't agree with or appreciate, we can change, and we don't surrender to those. We surrender to the greater truth within us that reveals who and what we really are and where we're coming from and what our deeper, most honorable and rich idea of ourselves really is. So the path is clear is the title today. I have marveled at the fact that these talk titles and this whole year-long process was visioned and envisioned over a year ago. So the fact that it all seems to just fall right into place with where we are today and the changes in the world is a really powerful thing, I think. It's a recognition of the one mind, of the fact that in going into deep meditation about how to create this whole year-long process, the folks who did that somehow tapped into the reality of what was coming, because each week it's just fallen in line with where we are. Last week we talked about the call, your one something that you're drawn to and that you're being pulled toward. And today we're going to talk more about how that plays out on a day-to-day basis as we look to the clear path for where we're going. The path is clear. Well, I don't know about you, but my path isn't always so clear. when I read all the conflicting ideas about what I should and shouldn't be doing right now in the world to be safe, it's not real clear. When I try to sort that out and get some expert out there to tell me and to clarify things, it only lasts as long as I'm looking at and listening to that expert, because as soon as I change my setting on the internet or look to another face or another person or another expert, all of a sudden it's a different story. And then all of a sudden it's unclear, which, you know, is frustrating, and yet it's a great gift. Because now, as much, and just like always, but in a way that we perhaps have not been pushed to do or experience, we really have the opportunity to listen to the truth within us, to ask for the clarity, not out there, but in here, and then follow the path. It's very interesting in the great fables and stories of the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur and all of that. The knights, when they were sent out on their sacred quest to find the Holy Grail, the Grail literally was a list of names or a chalice. There are two different versions that had the faces of the disciples carved on it or printed on it. The other was that it was a list of names of the lineage of Jesus. So who knows for sure? But in the mythological approach, it was that Grail, that something that connected you in an absolute way with truth, as you could gather it, as you could see it, as you could understand it. And the search for the Grail, as the knights found out over time, was the Grail itself. Most of them never found the Grail. None of them ever found the Grail, but they found the Grail in themselves in the search. And the interesting thing one of the interesting things is, when the knights were sent out by the king to go and find their spiritual truth, they were told, do not go travel a path that has already been traveled. Don't take a path that is beaten and worn and easy. Because if that were the path, the Grail would have been found. Go the path, enter the woods where there is no path. Enter the woods at its thickest, most perhaps challenging place, and then create a new path. And now, as more than ever, we are called upon to do that, to enter a path that's new, that doesn't look familiar or easy or even wide open. And instead, we step into a whole unknown, and the path may be, you know, cluttered with all kinds of conditions that we don't like, brambles and wires and briars. I grew up in Florida. We used to do a lot of rambling through the swamp. It was great fun to me in those days. As long as we didn't bump into alligators and moccasins, we were okay. My grandfather liked to do that too, because he knew some places way back in the swamp that had been sacred sites for Indians, and other areas where there were just still a few cypress trees left that were old growth, first growth, never been cut. There weren't many of those, but there were a few. And so we would ramble through the swamps looking for them. And he would say the same thing. If there's a path, it's not going to take us to where we want to go, because nobody else knows about this, so there's no path. But he also said something important. When we'd run into a particularly thick set of briars or cat claw vines, if you know what those are, you know they're no fun. I would always freeze. I mean, I just look at this pile of stuff in front of me and go, how? No, I don't want to push through all that. I don't have on thick enough clothes, and I'm going to get scratched up, and I'm going to have all this stuff happening to me. And Pop would say, you know what? You don't look at the briars. You look at what's beyond the briars. You see that opening over there? Just keep your eye on the opening and push forward, and it won't be nearly as bad. Now, he'd grown up in those swamps in his childhood, you know, generations or years before, and he had the right idea. He knew how to live in that kind of an environment. So sure enough, we would push through. So pushing through that and recognizing it as the way to go and the place to go by looking beyond the appearances, by looking beyond what was right there in our faces, was the key to where we're going. And Dr. Holmes says it this way. He says, there's one life, the one life flowing through me on the inside is perfect and complete. I am not apart from it. I am one with it. It marvels. I'm one with it in marvelous unity and freedom. Marvelous unity and freedom. Being able to see beyond that which is right there. I am one with the complete whole. I am one with the clearing beyond the briars. I'm also one with the briars, so they don't have the same problem for me. Nothing is my enemy. I am one with the wholeness of all life that is rich and that is wonderful. And I invite you to take that in and think about it for a few moments. There's a power within you that knows. I loved it. Judy used one of my favorite quotes in saying, there is something in me that knows. If I don't know, if I'm lost, if I'm not sure, that affirmation tags a deeper truth and awakens often that which does know within me and reveals it to me. One of my favorite ministers from back when I was early in this teaching would say you got to do a foot stomping treatment at that point. You stomp your foot and say, I demand to see the good in this. I demand to see the good in this, wherever it is, because I know it's here. In whatever rough entry into the woods you're making at any time. And as soon as you make that demand on the universe, on spirit, the demand will respond and will come forward with ease, with truth. So how do you clear the path? How do you clear the way? How do you make that work for you? You recognize, as we just said, that there is within ourselves an answer to every question, and the solution to every problem. So the path, the answer, the clarity, the truth of the path is already within us. It's already there. And we'll answer that demand from within when we allow ourselves to wait for the mental storm to die down. I am not often willing quickly enough to do that. I want an answer now. This is upsetting me. I'm frustrated. And why can't I get it straightened out right now? And so often we dive into trying to fix things by changing conditions, by juggling things around on the outside. It's like trying to lose weight by getting a new mirror, or trying to look better by polishing the mirror. We're trying to do the things on the outside quite often without stopping and giving ourselves time to quiet within so that the clarity can come forward. Be still and know is the secret of guidance. I love that. Be still and know is the secret of guidance. That is as it is of every problem of life. There's never something to do. There's never something to fix. There is always something to know when we're faced with any kind of entry into the woods. So the question often is, what is there for me to know? And then listening, not for someone else to tell you, but for your own inner truth and wisdom. There's something for me to know right here and now, and I'm going to be quiet and listen until I hear an answer. And the little chatter in my brain goes, but, but, and off we go. And I'm going, no, quiet, settle down. Some of that's just our ego training, our mind training, that we are supposed to always have answers, or we're supposed to be able to figure things out no matter what. Did you ever feel like that? That you had to come up with an answer, whether you knew what it was or not. So you just took an answer and went for it, and then realized maybe even years later that you didn't really know why you even started that process. But that's a part of the rest of the journey, finding out. A perturbed mind can never get the correct answer. A stilled mind always can. And when we talk about mind in that respect, we're talking about not just the mental chatterbox mind, but we're talking about mind in the larger sense. It includes our emotions, our feelings, all of the infinite mind. So we still ourselves, and instilling ourselves, be quieting our inner selves, being quiet and listening, we can feel things around us go quiet as well. When you do that quiet, when you do that meditation, whether it's active formal meditation or whether it's simply staring out the window or it's watching a sunset or a tree grow or the grass grow, it quiets everything. And you start hearing and feeling and knowing things you may not have even noticed before. We are processing so much input from our world around us. Our brains are going a lot faster than they have in the past because of that. But we also filter out more than we take in. You've seen those videos where the person walks across the stage in the middle of a basketball game. You don't even see that person walking across the stage until they back up, slow it down, and show it to you. And it was completely visible the first time because we are so trained to look at certain things. We don't hear and see the others. But when we get quiet, then the path within us unfolds and we see it. And it's clear. And that's because the answers always come from God. There's some keys to clearing the path. Being still, being quiet is one of them. We call that meditation. We call it by lots of names. Another is the golden key. The golden key is fascinating. It's a little of what my granddad taught me before. Well, actually, he knew of these teachings and of Emmett Fox, who wrote about the golden key. And the golden key is, don't think about the problem, think about the solution. Think about the solution as God. Don't think about the problem, think about God. And he wrote a little pamphlet by that. It became a core part of his teaching. Now, that doesn't mean we pretend the problem isn't there. And it doesn't mean that we act as if everything's okay when it's not. And we're kind of like whistling in the dark at that point, hoping things will be okay, but we don't know for sure because we don't trust it. What he's talking about is, instead of spending a lot of time focused on the problem, whatever that problem might be, whatever those brambles might be, whatever those cat claw vines might be, rather than focusing on that and spending a lot of time trying to untangle them or figure out where they're tangled or where they came from or how they grew there or why they did this, focus on God. Focus on that power of spirit within you, not of some kind of God out there, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the God that is the power of truth, light, and life within you. It's easier to say, rather than focus on God, focus on life. Focus on truth. Focus on spirit. I know a lot of folks who come into this teaching have a problem with the G word. I did. I was very grateful that my teacher in the early days didn't talk too much about God. He talked about infinite intelligence. There's an infinite intelligence in charge of the universe. He loved to say that with his fake New England accent, or not, that part wasn't fake, but the British accent he would always pull out when he said infinite intelligence was always funny to me. I loved that phrase because it's an infinite truth within everything. Infinite intelligence can't be separate from its creation. It is the stuff of its creation. So instead of focusing on and getting a lot of time spent on how to fix things or figure things out, focus on that infinite intelligence within you. Listen for it. Court it. Courting, courting the spirit is one of those phrases we use. Courting the infinite intelligence within us. Not because we have to court it to get it come be in us. We don't need to do that. It's already here and always will be. What we're courting is our awareness of it. Our ability to hear it and see it and feel it and know it. Because as soon as we do, the path becomes clear. Very clear. Another powerful, powerful tool for clearing the path are affirmations. And particularly affirmations you can find some belief in. There's something in me that knows. I may not understand it, but there is always love being expressed. The purpose of life is to live and to expand. Whatever affirmations, I am prosperous. If you've taken prosperity classes before here, you know that one of the things we do is we sing that. I am prosperous. I am prosperous. Yes, I am. I know it's silly and it feels silly. But when you're doing that over and over and over, every time you're sitting still or being quiet for during the process of the class, you start to believe it and feel it. And once you believe it and know it, the path opens up in accordance with that. It's a beautiful thing. Which leads me to the idea that this whole business here can be summed up to a phrase from the great teacher Jesus in the Bible. And that is that we walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus said it, and what he was talking about was walk according to the faith, the belief, the truth that you know in your own heart, not the outside conditions that are telling you all kinds of things. Perhaps to be afraid, perhaps not to do what we desire to do. Lots of sight. We have the five senses and we pick things up with those. But if we only make our decisions and choices based on those five senses, we may have a very different experience of life. Because to walk by faith is to recognize that I have prosperity and am prosperous and am living prosperously, regardless of the numbers in my bank account or my current flow of things on the outside. Now, those will come into alignment if I go by faith that I am prosperous. I am health. My body is naturally designed to be healthy. And when I know that, and I trust it, and I abide by it, that has a greater power and a greater opportunity to bring my body into alignment with it than all of the attempts to make my body behave a certain way or show up a certain way. And yeah, we need to drink lots of water and we need to get lots of sleep and we need to do all those things that we need to do to take care of ourselves. But not out of fear, out of faith in who we are. There's something within us, each of us, a life force, an energy force that is bringing this forward. And when we walk by faith, it shows up with ease. And literally, if you walk at all, you're walking by faith. You put your foot out and have the faith that it'll catch you before you fall on your face. Faith is how we do all of life. There's a great image I've always carried about life, particularly walking by faith. We used to do 5-year plans. We used to do 10-year plans, 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, and the 20-year plan. Now we do the 5-minute plan because things are changing so fast and we don't know where they're going. But one of the images I've always had is when I think of moving through life, I think of moving through a dark cave or a dark space with a headlamp. And with that headlamp, everything around me is bright and lit, and I know exactly what to do and how to do it. The path is clear. but I can't see past the end of the light. So I choose to take another step. And if I step forward, voila, the next stretch of the path becomes visible and clear. And when I take the next step of the path becomes clear. And slowly, I don't know that we ever get the far sight, although they make some flashlights nowadays that can really shine a long ways, but I'm not, and our sight will be as far or as short as we allow it to be, but at the same time, often we just don't know that far ahead. And sometimes in my life, I've been grateful I didn't, because I might have lived in fear rather than faith and not walked through whatever that part of the woods was that I came through with ease and grace. There's a great metaphysical movie out. It's been out a while. It's not new. And every kid in America has seen it. It's called Frozen 2. Now, if you've got kids, you've seen it. If you don't have kids, you may not have, because you thought it was a children's movie. It's not a children's movie. So your assignment this week, if you haven't already, is to watch Frozen 2. There's a point in the movie where Anna, it's called Anna's Song, Anna reaches that place deep in the cave and is lost and dark and depressed and doesn't really know what the path will be. And she starts to sing. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what it will lead to. I don't know what's on the other side, but I know the next right step. And she takes the next right step and the next right step. And it's a powerful, powerful point in that movie. And it's a powerful point in our lives when we trust ourselves enough to know that my faith tells me I will take the next right step and what that step is. You know, because if it's not the best step or the right step, we can correct it on the next step, or we can take a step back and regroup and listen until we know what the next right step is. The path is made clear because we make it clear. The spirit of life and God within us makes it clear. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. This is Memorial Day. Well, it's actually not Memorial Day, it's Memorial Day weekend, declared so by the state. For many years, it was the 30th of May. It still probably is. And for those of us in Georgia, there's a Confederate Memorial Day at another time of the month. I think the state still honors that. There are all kinds of Memorial Days. They used to be all over the calendar. You know, the first Memorial Day was in 431 B.C., so this is not a new thing, that we honor those who've fallen in war. Now, this is where how we teach and what we do becomes so important. Because we have to look beyond the brambles. We have to look beyond what's your political opinion about war. What's your political opinion about a particular war or a particular group that's caused the war or who's to blame or any of that stuff. And on Memorial Day weekend, we look at the hearts of the people who have given their lives for something, whether we believe in it or not, they believed in enough to go that far out, put themselves on the line. And it may have not been because they believed in the cause of the war. They may have believed in their buddies. They may have just believed in life, and they were trying to live it to the best of their knowledge. But whatever that is, this is a time to really honor those. My heart breaks this weekend. I think about all the young people who die in wars. I think about everyone that dies, but the young people somehow ring heavier in my heart and mind. And I bless them and I thank them and I honor them, not because of the choice they made, but because the choice they made to follow their hearts and go as far as they could, as far as they could in this life. And trust and know that nothing ends here. They move right on to whatever's next for them. And I honor each of you. I honor each of you because you have things you believe in enough to live. Whether you ever die for them or not, you live for them. And when you do that, you're dying to other things. So the path is clear because it's your path. The path is clear because it's the path that you choose. I will not now or ever, except in a really bad day, denounce or deny anyone else's path if they believe in it enough to put their lives behind it. And every choice about how we use our time is putting our lives behind it. And I'll leave you with my favorite quote ever. When I come to the end of the light I have known and step out into the darkness, my faith tells me my foot will either find solid ground or I will fly. And so it is. Join me, if you will, a few moments, and let's simply take a moment and be quiet and listen, and let's recognize that power within us that guides us, whether we know it or not, whether we're paying attention or not. It is there whispering in our hearts, in our minds, in our choices. And I surrender to that wisdom within me, trusting it only desires my highest and greatest good and the opportunity to express itself as me. There is one united, one wonderful, one rich power in the universe, and I'm it. It expresses through me individually in a certain way. I cannot be separate from it. I cannot pull away from it. It always is there, and it is becoming something unique and special as it expresses itself as me. I am grateful for this. I take the time this week to listen. If my path seems confused, I listen and listen and watch quietly until the first right step is revealed. I take no steps until it is, because I trust that it will be revealed at exactly the moment I need to know it. For the universe does not desire to hold anything back from me. The infinite intelligence within me desires to express itself. And I choose to get quiet enough to listen to it. That my path, now and always, is clear. This is the truth. I let it be so. And so it is.
And I know this with me, with our center, we are continuing to be here every Sunday out in the world. And we've got a lot going on. So I appreciate everybody that shows up every Sunday as a board member, as a member of this community. And so if you will say with me the affirmation of prosperity, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And I share, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. The theme this month is listen to your heart. And there have been some really heartfelt talks this month. Next Sunday, we've got These Hands by Dr. Bob Dean. And during the week, we've got things for people to join into on the same Zoom meeting. Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30, and Thursday evenings from 6 to 7. And then we started a new giving platform that is available to everybody. And if you haven't signed up for that and you're on the have been on Fellowship One, we're transitioning that. I think almost everybody's transitioned off of Fellowship One into ACS Realm. And in the chat is the way to give. You can give on the website. And that's pretty easy. Just go in. You can set up one-time giving or an ongoing contribution, monthly, weekly, however you want. And if your prosperity consciousness is there, that tithing 10%, I make adjustments to my ongoing contribution on a basis as I get paid. I've got a flat level, and then I bump it up when I get extra pay. Just because my pay is variable, unlike some people, so that happens. We got practitioners. We had Judy Ailey in the beginning giving a great talk. And if they're here for you, if you've got anything going on, health-wise, emotional-wise, financial-wise, that you want some additional help with, they are here. And they work, and it works, and we know it works. So take advantage of them. That's pretty much it. We got donate online at CSL Midtown, and I'm going to turn it back over to Bob.
Thank you, Vance. Thank you all for making this possible. You are the reason we can do this and the reason why we do this. You support us and make it possible. I do want to invite you, however, to support us in another way, and that is to join our CSL Center for Spiritual Living Midtown website on Facebook, if you're a Facebook user. It's a great site. It's a place where we announce these programs. It's also a place from which this Sunday talk is broadcast. And so if you sign on to that site, then you can also then share these ideas and teachings. And we would love to get this out to as far and wide as we can, because I think the world right now needs these messages and needs this idea and this feeling and this opportunity to just sit back and enjoy life a little bit for a few minutes and know a better idea. So join us in joining and in sharing. I think Cynthia just put that on the link on our chat. And we want to make sure we let people know where we are. I will give you just a quick report. We did some number crunching this week, discovered that we have 25 to 30 people most weeks. Now today it looks like we have 18, but not every computer has just one person. That's just one computer. So we have 18 computers on here and cell phones. We also then during the week reach another, during the call, there are usually 7 to 10 people watching us on Facebook. And then those get shared out beyond that. And I'm not certain how many we have in that. We've been looking at that. The other good news is on our podcast, if you're looking at the podcast, we have last week we had 173 people that watched the podcast or that downloaded it or took some part in looking at it or listened to it. Yeah, you can't watch the podcast. Thank you, Vance. So I'm excited that we are touching the lives of hundreds of people, not, you know, along with those of you who are here in person. So thank you. Thank you for making that possible, and thank you for continuing to make that possible. It's a rich and wonderful thing. So here's our closing. You know it, and if you don't know it, it's up here on the screen. I still read it because I need to read it. So here it is. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. And I would add, everything I need in spite of everything going on around me. And so it is. Thank you.